well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. So glad you're with me on the program today. Yeah, we're talking about the craziness that happened over the weekend where President Joe Biden, no longer the Democratic nominee, stepping down, Kamala Harris trying to take over as the presumptive nominee and doing a decent job in the early going anyway, locking down more than 500 delegates, getting the support of a number of members of Congress, former President Bill Clinton, former First Lady and Secretary of State, and U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton, though not, it should be noted, to Barack Obama, who came out in support of a open convention. Democrats, I think it's fair to say they're in disarray at the moment. The establishment clearly thinks that they've got a path forward, right? Just swapping out Harris to replace Joe Biden. But we'll see if it is going to be as easy as the Democratic establishment thinks it will be to do that. We're going to be talking about this with Armed American Radio's Mark Walters here in just a moment. Who will the Democrats ultimately decide on? And if it is not Kamala Harris, well, who might it be? If it is Kamala Harris, then who is she going to pick as her running mate? Those are just a couple of the questions that are swirling around one of the major political parties today. We'll get to that conversation here in just a second. Before we do, though, let's talk about this. You know, economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it's no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you have not thought about gold, now is the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Just text GOLDEN to 1-800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree, physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market's golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. And now, let's kick off the conversation with Armed American Radio's Mark Walters. Last time that Mark was on the show, we were talking about the prospect of Biden dropping out. Well, it's here, and now the conversation just shifts to, well, what happens next? Take a look and a listen. Mark, thanks so much for coming back on the program. Good Monday to you. Wow. Yeah. So the last time you were on the show, we were talking about this very possibility, right? Joe Biden dropping out and all of a sudden now Democrats have a decision to make. Who is going to be their running mate?
Well, first off, let's go back to that prediction. I think the prediction of him dropping out when you and I talked about it was an easy prediction to make. You know, you and I talked about the snowball was already rolling downhill. The momentum was there. There was no way he was going to stand in front of it and stop that thing. It was just inevitable. But there's a couple things that come to mind with that, because you've got this party that's claiming to want to protect democracy that in the process is absolutely subverting democracy by disenfranchising, well, I guess the number is 14 million Democrat primary voters who now have had their votes literally tossed out the window by the party elites. And that should scare every American. I know it's being talked about by a lot of pundits, as it should be. But what they've just done is they've just taken democracy, as they like to say, and tossed it right out the window. So, but think about why. Their candidate was losing in the polls, so they got rid of him. You bolster the campaign and continue to fight. That's the way the process works. So now let's talk about what next, to get to your question. My money, the safe money, I believe, is on Kamala Harris. I could be wrong about it. If I were to walk into a Vegas casino with you today, and one of the nice waitresses walked up and said, "Welcome to the Royal Casino," you have to put $5,000 on this bet where you're going to die in 30 minutes. What do you say? I say, I put my money on Kamala Harris. But that's under normal circumstances. We are not living under normal circumstances, and we know that the Democrats are going to make up their own rules as they go. They're doing that right now, right?
Yeah.
So we don't have the idea. And I find it fascinating, and I think it's worthy of discussion. Kamala Harris got Joe Biden's endorsement with that letter that he put out on social media immediately. And within minutes, I think right now as we speak, she's up to about 591 delegates pledged to her already. She needs, what, I think 1,300 or 1,900, something like that. So she's shy of that. But she'll get there. I think she'll get there. Regardless of that, you had the Congressional Black Caucus immediately endorse her. You had a lot of the party elders, immediately endorse her, as Biden did. But two people didn't, and that would be Barack Obama and his wife, Big Mike. They did not. They're calling for an open convention. And I find that really interesting for a number of different reasons. And I think we're just going to watch that play out over the next couple of weeks as to why that occurred.
Yeah. All right. So I want to get back to a couple of things you said there. I think you're absolutely right about the disenfranchisement of voters, right? The one of the whole shticks of the Democrat Party this campaign has been, we are the party of norms, right? We're the party of normalcy. Okay, well, if you're the party of norms, then do you get to select who's going to be the candidate? Or is this decision going to be made for the voters? And that certainly is what the Harris campaign is trying to do right now, right? And look, you can argue there are 150 million good reasons why the Democratic nominee should be Harris, right? That money that is in the Biden-Harris campaign apparently is locked up unless she's not on the ticket somehow. And to keep her at number two, she's probably not going to go for that, right? I mean, the obvious choice would be, well, we elevate her up to the top of the ticket. But there's a difference between an obvious choice and a cram down, which is no choice at all. And that, I think, is what you're getting at here, is that are Democratic voters going to actually have a say? Are they going to have a choice? Or is this open convention going to be wrapped up by the party establishment by the time it gets started in Chicago? So I think you're right. And I think that is going to be a problem for Democrats going forward. But I also agree that Harris, I think, is the, I don't know if I'd go so far as to call her the presumptive nominee at this point. But if she's not, it's pretty darn close. As you say, the delegates, the party leadership is already getting behind her. We're already starting to see talk about potential vice presidential picks for Harris, which gets us to some interesting names here, Mark. CNN reported yesterday afternoon that on her short list, you've got Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, who's probably the least bad of the four names that I'll mention. You've got North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. You've got Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and U.S. Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, the co-founder of the gun control group Giffords. Most of those you look at and you say, okay, leave the gun control issue aside. Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, these are all battleground states. These are all states that were slipping away from Joe Biden. Picking a favorite son might put those states back in play. But also, again, three of those four individuals have extensive histories of hostility towards the Second Amendment. I think no more so than Mark Kelly, whose wife told Time magazine that the goal of the organization that she and her husband founded was, quote, no more guns. Right. That's what she said. And she was asked by the Time reporter, are you sure about that? Her handler tried to step in and said, that's not what she meant. She said, yes, it is. No more guns. So let me ask you, Mark, I mean, if Mark Kelly is tapped by Kamala Harris, I mean, I don't think there's any way that doesn't elevate gun control to one of the top issues this fall. Well,
you know, there's a lot going on with what you just mentioned. Let's go to those four picks. I had a conversation on Saturday, a private off-air conversation with our good friend Alan Gottlieb, and it was the day before this. I said, you know, Biden's out of here, Alan. If he's out, what happens? That was the day before he bailed, right? And Gottlieb said some very telling things. I discussed it on my show last night, albeit Alan wasn't on the program, but what he told me was the scariest pick for Republicans out of the four that you just mentioned. Now, let me say this. From a Democrat standpoint, if I were a Democrat or I were a Democrat operative or a campaign manager, all four of those picks are doable for them, okay? But Shapiro, he said, was the scariest of all for Republicans. And when I disagreed with him, I said, he doesn't have any name recognition. He's got zero name recognition outside PA. He said, exactly. And that's exactly what they're looking for. Here's why. Number one, as you mentioned, it puts Pennsylvania back in play. Okay. He is popular in Pennsylvania. And according to our good friend, Justin Moon, excuse me, who lives in Pennsylvania, he's kind of middle of the road. And of course, Pennsylvania has a Republican controlled Senate, Democrat controlled House. And Shapiro is kind of walking that line as a more moderate Democrat than some of the radicals like you would see with a Kelly or a Gretchen Whitmer or somebody like that. But what Alan's comments were that were very telling was the fact that he has very little name recognition outside of PA is exactly what they're looking for, because he also has no negative numbers. He has no negative polling numbers out there. Donald Trump's negatives are over 50%. Shapiro comes in with no negatives, which makes him a very frightening candidate. And why? Because, well, they're going to be able to sell that name. It's going to be instant name recognition. The moment he was selected, it would be instant name recognition. We're already watching the media fall behind Kamala Harris, doing exactly as you and I predicted a week ago, immediately bootlicking her. They're all over her. She's the best thing since sliced bread. Now, the gun control issue, it's interesting. I got a poll the other day that was clearly from the Mark Kelly camp. It kept the pollster asking me the questions. I had a lot of fun with her, by the way, and I have to hand it to her. I was unable to get her to crack a grin or laugh, and I did everything in my story. But I thought that was interesting. It's almost like, in hindsight, Kelly knew something a week ago, because otherwise it made no sense for me to get that poll as I look at it in the rearview mirror. It was quite interesting. So clearly he's making a play out there, or he would not be commissioning a national poll like that. But all four of them are bad for gun control and for gun rights. But Cam, I think that's already baked in, right? We already know that's going to happen. That's not a shock to me, and I'm sure it's not a shock to you, your listeners, viewers, my listeners and viewers. I don't think it's a shock to any of them. The problem that they have is Kamala Harris is not electable. As hard as the media tries to elevate her stature and reinvent her in what, 108 very short days? And it's not even that yet. It might take 2 weeks to get through this process. It could be 88 days. I don't see her overcoming those negatives as a San Francisco gun control liberal with absolutely zero accomplishments, who couldn't even pull 1% in her own primaries when she ran for president in 2020. The Democrats have a problem. They've been outed. And her biggest problem, I think you'll agree with me, is they've all been lying to the American public about Biden's condition.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is number one on that list. And I don't know how they overcome that, no matter what the media does. I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that the American public is smart enough to see through this.
Yeah. No, and you're absolutely right. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that is something that obviously the mainstream media is not going to talk about. Right. But, you know, this gets into, I think, some really uncomfortable questions for Democrats that they don't want to have this conversation. But if Joe Biden is not competent enough to run for president, then why is he competent enough to be the president? Right. And if he's not competent to be the president, then why are they continuing to prop him up? Well, because it's better for the Democrats, right? It's a more orderly transition. So it does get into, what did you know about Joe Biden's ability to do the job, and when did you know it? And we have seen these reports over the past month, well, the past 3 weeks, ever since the first presidential debate come out, that, you know, boy, you got to get to Biden between like 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Right after that, he's kind of out to lunch. We've seen these reports about Biden being protected from, you know, even his cabinet officials, right? There were members of the cabinet saying, we haven't had an unscripted cabinet meeting in a long time. So Harris is going to have to answer those questions. Well, you didn't see anything to make you concerned the entire time that you've been the vice president, and yet you backed him up 100% right up until he dropped out. That's going to be something that, you're right, this isn't a gun control issue, but it is a trust issue for American voters. And if we've been lied to about Joe Biden's mental capacity or his ability to do the job for the past couple of years, you're right. Harris is among those who have been lying to the American people about Joe Biden's viability, not only as a candidate, but again, as the commander in chief. And Republicans will rightfully hammer Harris over that. You know, any Democrat that they pick, I think, is going to have to answer those questions to one degree or another. But Kamala Harris has been Biden's number two. So, you know, that becomes, I think, a huge issue for Harris going forward. And then, as you say, we are in uncharted waters here. I mean, you know, as a lover of U.S. history, there's a part of me that is, I'm glad, I guess, to experience this and to watch this. On the other hand, it's like, what the hell is going on in this country?
You know, look, you bring up a couple of great points. The media here is going to be a key factor. I think the Democrat Party understands that they have the media for the most part on their team, right?
Yeah.
They trust that the media is going to help prop her up and do what we're already seeing them doing. Within minutes of Biden's letter coming out on Sunday, okay, CNN, I went through, CNN already had a row of stories propping Harris up. It took no time whatsoever. The problem that the Democrats are going to have is these tough questions. Is the mainstream media really going to ask her these tough questions? I'll tell you why I think they will. Because they're covering up their cover-up by playing the victim. They can't stop doing that. They've got to ask her those questions in order to cover up their cover-up by playing the victim card as they're doing right now. Why didn't you tell us these things before? We saw Stephanopoulos doing it. Stephanopoulos had hard questions for him. Lester Holt had hard questions for him. Why? Because ABC and NBC got caught with their pants down. And the only way to get out of that is to ask him tough questions, knowing that he, you know, that's how they get out of this. Now, that will slow. That effort will slow as they begin to aggressively, you know, pop up their new candidate, which we know is going to happen. It's already happening. But it is, I'm with you. It is a fascinating time to be alive. And when people ask me all the time, I'm sure you get the question, man, you know, sitting around with your buddies having a beer somewhere, how did we get here? That's not a difficult question to answer. It simply took 248 years for the nation to reach the point the founders feared, which is why they wrote the Constitution the way they wrote it. And we happen to be alive during that 248th year when all of this is happening. Now, it's been building for the last couple of decades, if you look back in that rearview mirror. Yeah. But we happen to be alive. It's really not that hard to figure out. The founders knew this could happen and wrote the Constitution the way they wrote it. The problem that we have is the Democrats are no longer playing by those rules. They're ignoring Supreme Court decisions at will. They don't care. And scarier, if you want to get conspiratorial here, which right now is really these are legitimate questions. When you step out of the bubble and look at all of this objectively, and you go back to two impeachments, Russia hoaxes, I mean, just one attack at how many court cases that they're throwing at him, convicting him in a New York kangaroo court, as we talked about previously, the Atlanta case going on right now. All of this happening, COVID pops up. Is that coincidence? An assassination attempt pops up. Do you really, when you look at this objectively, do you not see the picture of what's been happening here? Now you look at the desperation. Our candidate sucks in the polls. Let's just get rid of him and forget. Let's disenfranchise those 14 million voters who now have no say because we're going to make the decision because we're behind the curtain pulling all the levers here. Forget them. It doesn't matter. Do you think they stop with these attacks on Trump? Oh, no, no. I said this on my show, and you'll probably agree with me, but if I were him, and now if I were Biden, I'd have food testers. Okay. Food testers in my food at this point. I don't think it stops. In fact, I think it ramps up. But they are going to have a very, very difficult time. The media has been busted. The emperor has no clothes. And it's almost going to be a joke watching them trying to cover their tracks. So I'm along for the ride. Popcorn. My money's on Harris right now, but who knows? Who knows?
All right. Last question for you. Does this change the metric for Second Amendment organizations in what they were planning on doing this election cycle? You know, or is this, as you say, sort of baked into the cake? We knew whoever the Democratic nominee was going to be. I was going to be staunchly anti-gun. So you just stick with the plan that you had already in place.
We're winning. Why change it? I don't think it does. I think like the Trump campaign, I don't think the Trump campaign cares who's on that ticket. They are working a brilliant campaign to this point, and they're staying the course. And as you know, they had an ad out within minutes of Kamala Harris, you know, lying to the American public about Biden's condition. It's going to be very difficult on that. Plus her cackling negatives. Get her. I just want to see a vice presidential debate, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I'd love to see J.D. Vance just eat her alive up there. But, you know, look, that old adage, you know, when you're starving, you'll eat anything. And that's where the Democrats are right now. They're starving. They're going to eat whatever they have to eat. And if that's in the form of Kamala Harris, so be it. As far as our gun rights organizations, I don't think anything changes. I think we continue to soldier on, just like the Trump administration is. We don't care who's in there. We know what we need to do. We know what cases we need to elevate to the Supreme Court. We're going to do it regardless. The dynamic shifts, though, radically. If a Democrat gets in and flips that Supreme Court, then it changes radically. What cases do we want to go to the Supreme Court? Do we want to put a case up that could overturn Bruin on a left-leaning court? I don't think so. So that's going to change the cases that we might look at in the lower courts that have a possibility to elevate to the Supreme Court. So we've got something to think about, incredibly difficult to think about, some big decisions to make if that were to happen. But I'm confident it's not. I feel really good about it. I still say Trump plus 320 electoral votes. I'm going to stand by that.
Again, we are in uncharted waters here, but while Harris may get a slight bump in the polls, she's certainly getting a lot of money donated to her over the past 24 hours. I'm with you. I think fundamentally, this really doesn't change anything other than the Democrats have replaced one unpopular candidate with another. And, you know, presuming, again, that she's the nominee. And I think that you do have to sort of presume that's going to be the case. Certainly the establishment is trying to ram that decision down the throats of Democratic voters. And clearly they have a lot of power and sway with the party itself. So I think that you're right. I don't think that the fundamentals have changed all that much. If, you know, for some reason, Andy Beshear were to become the nominee and not just rumored, you know, as a vice presidential pick, that might change things. As I said, he's been the least bad on guns. He allowed constitutional carry to go into effect in Kentucky without vetoing it. Didn't sign the bill either. But, you know, that's something that could not be said for Josh Shapiro or Roy Cooper, who most certainly would have vetoed constitutional carry if it got to their desks. I tell you what, Mark, I want to have you back here in a few days because with as much as stuff is changing right now, this entire conversation could be, you know, outdated 12 hours from now. So if we don't touch base this week, let's definitely plan on having you back again, like maybe next Monday, just to kind anytime. Of talk about where we are.
Yes, anytime. I'd love to.
Fun All stuff. Right, my friend. Thank you so much for coming to the program. And make sure you check out Armed American Radio, the daily show, the big Sunday Monster cast, armedamericanradio.com, right? That's the website?
That's it. You can find everything out about me there. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Cam. I love it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Mark Walters joining us here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My thanks to Mark for joining us on the program. And yeah, we'll be talking with him again very soon. Because, again, I expect we're going to see a lot of crazy developments over the next coming days here. All right, before we turn to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's talk about this for just 1 second. At the very heart of our democracy lies a principle that we hold sacred, free speech. It is the cornerstone that supports every freedom we cherish. Yet in today's digital age, discussions about our wealth, our rights, and our future are being silenced or overshadowed in mainstream narratives, leaving many feeling voiceless in conversations crucial to our financial independence and security. That's where Wealth Protection Research steps in, armed with a mission that's never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They're defenders of free speech, committed to giving a voice to the silenced. Now, they tirelessly seek out financial experts, particularly the voices that challenge prevailing narratives, and especially as we navigate the uncertainties of the 2024 election. That's why Wealth Protection Research has created a 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report, which highlights the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into this year's election. It contains ideas the mainstream media won't touch, and listeners can get it absolutely free when you text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. If you believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, then act now. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told, to hear the ideas the establishment doesn't think you can handle, and to take control of our financial destinies. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of California, Redwood City, California, where city leaders, by the way, declared a moratorium on new gun shops a couple of years ago. They didn't want any gun shops opening in town. There was one that had applied for the ability to open its doors. I think it was about a mile from a school. That was the ostensible reason why Redwood City said, no, I'm not going to have any gun stores near a school. Okay, criminals aren't getting their guns from gun stores anyway, but whatever. Well, here we are, Redwood City, gun store free, but police have accused a parolee of possessing both drugs and firearms. Last time I checked, you couldn't get meth at any retail location in California, although, I mean, I could be wrong about that. It's been a while since I've looked. Anyway, back on July 11th, Redwood City officers arrested 25-year-old Elijah Harrington on suspicion of methamphetamine and firearm possession as a convicted felon. That's right. Harrington stopped for outstanding warrants. He was searched. Police allege they found 2 ounces of meth. They then searched his home and found 2 unserialized pistols, AR-15-style rifle components, AR-15-style compatible magazine, several rounds of 223 ammunition, and a 3D printer as well, along with materials associated with manufacturing illegal firearms. According to SFGate.com, Harrington booked into the McGuire Correctional Facility after his arrest. He was already on probation and had several outstanding warrants, one of which was for a felony, according to police. Now, what's interesting here is that California has a unique law. It's called the Armed Prohibited Persons System. So what happens is after you have been declared ineligible to possess a firearm, your name goes on this list. If you are a gun owner, if the state of California knows that you're a gun owner, you're on this list. And then law enforcement is supposed to come out and take your guns. Kamala Harris actually was in charge of this program back when she was attorney general. And she vowed that, you know what, with just a little bit of extra money, the state could reduce this backlog of people that they knew or believed were illegally possessing firearms down to zero. Well, that didn't happen. Not when she was attorney general. Certainly didn't happen once she was elevated to the U.S. Senate and Rob Bonta took over as attorney general. In fact, last year, the mandated report on the Armed Prohibited Persons System showed that there was a backlog of 23,000 names. Yeah. Again, of individuals who have been adjudicated as prohibited persons but are believed to possess a firearm. The state of California knows who they are. They know where they live. And yet, rather than going after these individuals and seeing if they are illegally possessing firearms, that list just continues to grow. And the state of California puts more laws in place aimed at you and me and other lawful gun owners. Today's Armed Citizen story from Taylor County, Florida. This, I got to say, is an odd one. An intruder shot and killed after breaking into a home in Taylor County, according to the local sheriff there. Now, what we know about this is that the homeowner woke up to the sound of breaking glass, somebody trying to get through their front door. Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports that when the intruder came into the bedroom of the home where the homeowner and a female friend were located, the homeowner grabbed his legally owned gun and shot the intruder. Now, when authorities came out and investigated, they discovered that the man was the female friend's husband, according to deputies. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Taylor County Sheriff's Office says that the investigation is ongoing. They're working closely with the state attorney's office to determine the circumstances around the shooting. Given, again, that the homeowner was where he had a right to be, I would say that this is going to be a justifiable use of force. Even given the aggravated circumstances, look, if you think or suspect that your wife is cheating on you or your husband is cheating on you, as awful as that is, that doesn't give you the right or the power to do some breaking and entering and to go into a home that is not yours. And sounds like that perhaps was the case here. A jilted husband going to find his wife and perhaps the guy she was sleeping with and broke the law by breaking into that home and ended up suffering the fatal consequences. We will bring you any more details as they become available there in Taylor County, Florida. Finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Group of Good Samaritans in Middletown, Connecticut, who helped rescue a family from a fire. This happened over the weekend, according to NBC Connecticut. Officials from the South Fire District said they responded to a fire about 8 p.m. Sunday night. The reports that there might be people trapped in an upstairs apartment. When they got there, it took about 5 minutes to get there. They found a heavy fire. But four people had already jumped from the second floor, including two children. Several people came to the rescue, catching the children, as well as a woman who had to leap to avoid the flames. A man who jumped from the second floor was unfortunately injured. All four residents who jumped from the home taken to a Middlesex hospital in Connecticut be treated for mild smoke inhalation injuries. Right now, the Good Samaritans unidentified. The fire department is asking anybody who knows who they are to contact the South Fire District Chief James Trzyski because they were instrumental, the fire department says, in saving the residents' lives. So they're not in trouble. But the fire department would at least like to know who they are so they can praise them by name. We don't know if any of these Good Samaritans will come forward, but regardless, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing without the need for any immediate public acknowledgement. Those anonymous heroes there in Middletown, Connecticut, hoping to save the lives of those caught in what could have been a deadly blaze. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. I'm looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. Who knows what the news will bring, but we'll be talking about it right here on Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Coming up on Wednesday, we're also going to be turning our attention back to Massachusetts, that sweeping gun control bill that was approved lickety-split after being worked on for almost a year. We're going to be talking to some firearms instructors in the state of Massachusetts who say this is going to be bad news for gun owners and the right to keep and bear arms. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, as well as a Monday can be enjoyed. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, be free.